This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast of Worldwide Wave, the international LGBT news and current affairs show. Every week on Australia's first LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community. This is the Worldwide Wave.
This is Worldwide Wave, Joy's international news and current affairs show for the LGBTI community, taking you around the globe one country at a time. Tonight we have Tom.
Hello.
Paul.
Hello.
And myself, Damien. It's Sydney Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras this weekend, which makes it a good time to talk about sex. With the queer eyes of the Asia Pacific focused on Australia, we thought it would be good to see if PrEP is gaining traction across the region.
Who are the leaders and laggards in Asia when it comes to PrEP?
What are the obstacles to a larger uptake in this HIV prevention tool?
And for an overseas visitor, what is the feeling of coming to Sydney for their very first Mardi Gras? To take a look at the fight against HIV in Asia and the role that Mardi Gras plays, tonight we are speaking to Midnight Ponkasa Itwana from the Asia Pacific Coalition for Men Who Have Sex with Men, based in Bangkok. Here's a taste of what we've got coming up tonight.
So, you know, while Thailand has bigger, I guess, sample sizes, other countries such as Vietnam and the Philippines and Malaysia is also looking to do some small-scale studies about, you know, 100 to 200 people. And I think that, you know, as a start, but in terms of actually getting a lot more people on it with evidence already out there, I think we have a bit of a long way to go in the region. But once they do actually start showing results in the local cities and countries, I think it will be kind of like snowballing.
Hi, my name is Hope Matumbu from the Multicultural Health and Support Service, and you're listening to the Worldwide Wave.
On Joy 94.9 with Tom, Paul, and myself, Damien.
Taking you around the globe, one country at a time. This is your Fun Fast Facts.
We're actually going to be talking a bit about Mardi Gras. A group known as the 78ers kicked off what has become the Sydney Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras by holding a march late in chilly June evening in 1978.
So that march wasn't officially the Mardi Gras. It was Sydney's contribution to the International Gay Solidarity Celebrations, which was an event that had grown up as a result of the Stonewall riots in New York. So that then progressed to the Sydney Mardi Gras, but it's got that that prestige that ties it back to the Stonewall riots in New York.
Several hundred gays, lesbians and straight supporters, some in fancy dress and some simply rugged up because it was cold, gathered at Taylor Square and followed a truck with a small music and sound system. It's grown quite a bit since then.
Yeah, it's more than one.
Down Oxford Street to Hyde Park.
As travellers joined in along Oxford Street, the police harassed the lead float along the route, and when the march stopped in Hyde Park, where telegrams of support were to be read.
I'm sorry, telegrams? What are they?
It was 1978, Paul, get with the program.
They're just lucky it wasn't airmail.
Things have changed. Police confiscated the lead float truck and arrested the driver, Lance Gowland. Angered by this, 1,500 revellers diverted up William Street to Darlinghurst Road, where the police had closed the road. At this point, the police swooped and violently arrested 53 men and women, many of whom were beaten in cells. Over the months that followed, more protests and arrests took place, and the actions of the police came to be seen as heavy-handed.
And this is really, I guess, where it kind of got into the spotlight and drew the attention to more than just the GLBTI community, what was going on and the violence of the police. And in fact, there was so much outcry from it all that in April of 1979, the Parliament of New South Wales repealed legislation known as the New South Wales Summary Offences Act, which had allowed the arrest to be made in the first place, and they created a new Public Assemblies Act, which meant that the Sydneysiders no longer had to apply for a permit to have a demonstration. So instead, they could just inform the police. Now, inadvertently, that first march in solidarity turned out to be a major civil rights milestone with ramifications way beyond the LGBTIQ community. In 1979, 3,000 people marched in an incident-free parade.
It hasn't all been glitter and sparkles. In 1985, the parade was almost cancelled after the head of Australia's AIDS task force was quoted as appealing to the gays to be responsible enough to cancel Mardi Gras activities. As the years has passed, the event became to enjoy extensive media coverage from the mid-80s, and the crowds have continued to swell from 200,000 in 1989 to over 500,000 in 1993. The large number of interstate and international travellers had started to fly in for the event, and it's generated an estimated $38 million for the New South Wales economy.
Wow.
By 1994, the event had certainly moved to the mainstream. In a controversial move, the ABC screened a 50-minute program of edited highlights at 8:30 p.m. Despite the criticism, the show gave the ABC its best-ever Sunday night ratings. In 1997, the event moved over to Channel 10, the first commercial broadcaster to cover the event.
It wasn't till March 2002 that the organisation, the Sydney Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras, went into receivership. A group of community organisations intervened at this point to fund a new organisation to ensure that the continuity of the event and to buy the intellectual property rights from the creditors. Since 2002, the group has effectively run the key elements of the Mardi Gras season, which is now a festival of approximately 100 different art events, a 70,000-person daytime picnic called Fair Day, the parade, post-parade party.
In 2006, it won an award as one of the world's top 10 custom parades, and it also was named by Planet Out as the best gay event in the world. In 2008, it celebrated its 30th anniversary. 2012 was the largest parade ever, with 10,000 colourful participants.
Hi, it's Todd Sears, founder of Out Leadership, and excited to be discussing driving LGBTI inclusion on the worldwide wave.
We are talking to Midnight Ponacastaya. PrEP, or pre-exposure prophylaxis, might be expanding in Australia, but its uptake across Asia is still in its early stages. Midnight is from APICON, the Asia-Pacific Coalition of Men Who Have Sex with Men, and they have been working with countries to understand PrEP. And we asked Midnight how the acceptance of PrEP for HIV prevention is progressing in Asia.
Oh, in 2015, a year after the guidelines of WHO that kind of recommended PrEP for MSM came out, we realized that there was nothing really happening in the region that much apart from Thailand that was doing anything around PrEP at all. So APCOM kind of started this community-led consultation to ensure that there will be some country operational plan in terms of getting the communities to understand PrEP and hopefully getting into the program of PrEP. And then at that meeting, it was a very watershed consultation because I think it brought in the communities and also the government service providers to look at what are the barriers towards PrEP implementation. And the main one was actually just the understanding of what PrEP is and what it isn't, and then how to integrate PrEP into the current services that's already available by providing another option of prevention. And now it's been over a year since that consultation, and we have a report coming out shortly, but it's still the same at country level where we feel like there's not a lot of discussions with the communities on what PrEP is, and also the willingness of the national governments to actually take it on as an added prevention option for men and sex with men.
What do you think is driving that? Is there a barrier at a bureaucratic level or a political level? Do you get a sense of what's stopping that from going forward?
I think it's a mainly the structural barrier, particularly around funding to prevention is mostly provided through international agencies. So PrEP is seen as a prevention tool that then the national government would not normally allocate their own funding into this new tool. And, it's very new, and the evidence is mostly from the West. So when we do talk about PrEP for country levels, they wanted to have some kind of their own information around whether local MSM would feel that they are going to be taking this as a prevention tool. But what we do find is that if the communities don't understand this, then they cannot actually demand this from the government. So what APCOM has done is to actually get the communities to actually have a discussion around this and then, you know, creates a demand for the government to also provide PrEP.
That was Midnight from APCOM, based in Bangkok. Midnight is currently in Australia, and coming up we will find out his thoughts on attending his first ever Mardi Gras. This is Worldwide Wave.
This is Douglas.
And this is Paula.
From Kaleidoscope Australia Human Rights Foundation, keeping a watchful eye on LGBTI rights across Asia and the Pacific.
On the Worldwide Wave.
Taking you around the globe, one country at a time, here on Joy 94.9. And we've had a few messages in. If you'd like to be part of the cohort that gets in contact with us, please do. From our regular 317, good evening, boys. I hope that influences Melania Trump to curtail her husband's anti-GLBTI stance. She's a Slovenian immigrant in relation there to our story from Slovenia, where they now have marriage equality. Also, a message in from Adam says, hi, I can see how PrEP could be on the rise. I'm originally from country Victoria, and I know most gay guys there take PrEP. I guess it takes the pressure off using protection, which most guys dislike using. So yeah, it's quite a contentious view now that PrEP is entered the mix. And also from 317, congratulations to Moonlight. Speaking of which,
as a part of this year's Mardi Gras month, ACON, the AIDS Council of New South Wales, launched a new campaign around choices. That there is a suite of prevention tools now available for men who have sex, men with, including condoms, maintaining an undetectable viral load, and PrEP. These tools can be used at different times and in different combinations by different people. As it is such a diversion from the condom-only message, we asked Midnight if any Asian countries were ready for this new message.
I think what's happening in Australia, it's a really good news that they're getting so many people now on PrEP, and it's kind of like becoming like a, I guess, the biggest in our region, actually, with people on PrEP. With a lot of the countries in our region, it's to do with the mode of funding towards providing this at a national scale. So, you know, while Thailand has a bigger, I guess, sample sizes, other countries such as Vietnam and the Philippines and Malaysia is also looking to do some small-scale studies about, you know, 100 to 200 people. And I think that, you know, as a start, but in terms of actually getting a lot more people on it with evidence already out there, I think we have a bit of a long way to go in the region. But once they do actually start showing results in the local cities and countries, I think it will be kind of like snowballing. And the role of APCOM is actually to ensure that, you know, the information that we get from Thailand is also transported and shared with other countries in the region.
Is there anything about the strategy that concerns you? And I guess I'm thinking about other STIs. So whilst PrEP is a great way of preventing HIV, it can result in a greater spreading of other STIs. Does that concern you from a strategic sense?
Our concern is actually young guys are not being tested at the moment for HIV, and then there's no options for them. People, we need to make sure that the services that's available out there can bring people into the services for testing. And then if you are tested, you're also testing, then you also test for other STIs as well. And if you are then negative, then you have an option to also do, you know, other prevention, and PrEP should be included in that in the option. And if also, if you are then positive, then you'll also be linked into care immediately. So right now, we have messaging to, you know, our community that's kind of like very outdated. So we need to ensure then, you know, younger people are getting these messages about, you know, caring for their sexual health, which includes HIV. Of course, adoptions in other countries compared to Australia might not be as varied. But I think, you know, first of all, we need to make sure then the guys are being tested and then know their status.
Looking a bit broader now at some of the other human rights work that you do, I noticed you recently released a report around human rights violations and encouraging people to report those where there is a mechanism to do so. What are you aiming to do with this guide for the Asia-Pacific region?
Well, we know that HIV itself and in-hand health has to go hand-in-hand with the human rights. In many of the countries that we work in the region, they still have the anti-sodomy laws, and it's one of the things that prevent people to actually go into the services. So either, you know, it's a structural barrier where they go in and they feel like they're not being treated as a human being because of their sexuality, or they're getting very bad service and they're not getting the service that they need by the staff or by the people within the health sectors where they're supposed to be serving people regardless of sexual orientation and gender identities. And we need to make sure that there is a mechanism where our communities can feel that their, you know, discrimination or even violence can actually make the services that they go to better and serve their needs. So we're hoping that through this the booklet that we just launched on the South Asia can make sure there is a mechanism where they can report to the National Human Rights Institute about their discrimination and violence, and that this is going to be compiled as an evidence to ensure that services would then be much more human rights respected of guys who go into the services.
Now, having this guide is one thing. How do you get the guide into the hands of the people who actually need it?
We've just launched this, and we're hoping that there'll be some translations in the local languages, and we're working with the local communities in the South Asian region to ensure that their communities understand what this guide means and what is the steps in terms of the reporting of their discrimination and violence. So it's about working through local communities and networks in those countries.
There has been recently a bit of an upswing in certainly anti-gay rhetoric in parts of our region, and I'm thinking particularly Indonesia and Malaysia. Are there countries that are giving you particular concern?
I think across the globe, I think there is kind of like the resurgence of I think hatred towards LGBT communities. But in terms of the work around HIV, there's still that open dialogue in terms of the health messaging. These countries still have kind of like HIV programs, and the community is still working. It might not be as visible as some of the countries that can be more visible about you know, the rights of LGBT people. But I think it's about how do we then still maintain that dialogue and open dialogue with the government in terms of providing the life-saving health services that's still required. In terms of the much broader policy around LGBT, there is now the UN independent expert on Zoji, and we're hoping to work with Professor Vitit in terms of actually ensuring that at the UN global level, there'll be a lot more support from the government to look at you know, anti-discrimination and look at the human rights for LGBT people.
That was Midnight from APCOM here in Australia for Mardi Gras. And we've had a message in, quite controversial, regarding PrEP. It says, what about people taking responsibility for their actions instead of using PrEP? We're a self-indulgent society and want instant gratification. Freedom has its consequences. What do you reckon, boys?
Maybe you should give a bit of background. So PrEP is for a HIV negative person. It's a antiretroviral drug that prevents HIV negative people from becoming infected. So
it's a preventative measure, much
yes,
like condoms.
Like a condom.
But it's not a physical thing, it's a medical.
It's a medical thing.
Medical intervention.
Stops the transmission of the virus. If a person is actually HIV positive, it's been proven that the treatments can now help reduce the person's viral load down to an undetectable level, making it almost impossible to transmit viruses. So this is why ACON is now pushing the Choices campaign, where you can use condoms, PrEP, or undetectable viral load.
In fact, they've just launched this in time for Mardi Gras, and particularly targeting the gay community, just to, I guess, change the discussion. I mean, it's quite a departure from what we've been hearing, I guess, most of our lives, and that's pretty much that it's just, you know, condoms have been the only...
A physical barrier of some kind is the only way of stopping transmission of the disease.
Correct. And now it's... The tagline is actually you choose. So you've got condoms, PrEP, and UVL being undetectable viral load. So it's, you know, it's
changing the goalpost a bit, isn't it, really?
It is. You know, I think it's good. because it does promote choice. As long as people are informed, I think that, you know, they at least have options, whereas before it was very black and white. Now there's all this grey in between. So if, you know...
But black and white is very easy to sell. Grey is a bit more difficult to get the message across. Easy to sell,
yes, but the thing with black and white is people might tend to opt out rather than opt in because they don't want to go down that route. And if it's sold as black and white, then, you know, it's either condom or no condom. You know, that's a very simplistic approach. And if you go the no route, you're pretty much 100% exposing yourself. Mm. Whereas grey, yes, is more complicated, but you're actually saying, well, look, you've got a choice. You've got other means of being responsible. So I guess to respond to 317, PrEP, if you're taking PrEP, then you are arguably still being responsible. Being irresponsible would be to, you know, not take any measures at all.
It does rely on people actually taking the medication. So taking the
condoms
PrEP,
rely on you putting them on.
They're more obvious if you're missing. If they're missing.
This is true. And we've just had a message in that says, from Jim, saying, PrEP is more effective than condoms. We need to hear up-to-date information, which you can find at the VAC website. And a little cross-sneaky promo here. You can also listen to Well, Well, Well on Joy.
Want to hear more? Find out about LGBT life in over 100 countries. Download free podcasts of this show. Subscribe to iTunes or follow us on Twitter. Visit joy.org.au/worldwidewave.
This is Ryan Reed from the International Gay Rodeo Association, saddling up with Worldwide Wave on Joy 94.9.
We've just had a message in from 317 who says, I didn't intend to be controversial with that statement. I'd like to think we're a sophisticated bunch of people who make well-informed choices. Life is grey and some people are engaged in complex relationships. More choice is freedom. That's great. So thanks for that, 317. I think what's really important is that we're opening up that dialogue and moving away from those black and white conversations. So I think it's great for all, and people should really embrace the options and be informed.
See, now I think what's really important is that 317 just called us sophisticated. I'm impressed.
No, that voice is Matt. He's just managed to drag himself away from the computer because he's been busily working on our show that's linked to Mardi Gras.
I have. We are actually a part of the big Mardi Gras spectacular that runs all this weekend. We're doing a multicultural show which will beam out from Joy and also SBS Radio.
Who would have guessed we would be the multicultural aspect?
Indeed. It's called True Colours. It'll run out on Sunday morning. And what we've been doing, we've searched around for a whole lot of music by LGBT artists, but we've also got the voices, the stories of a whole range of people, and for many of them, for most of them in fact, we got them to record their story in their native tongue. So we've got Arabic, we've got Italian, we've got, oh heavens, Thai, Vietnamese,
Cantonese, Mandarin.
Yes, and it goes on. So there's about 14 different cultures of people from 14 different cultures who will be telling their story, and that rolls out as a part of the big Mardi Gras weekend all here on Joy.
So if you do speak or understand one of those languages, make sure you do give it a listen, and then you can always send your feedback back to us.
There will be a scattering of English in there, and the songs, even though they're in different languages, fairly rocking, I think.
They are. It's going to be, it's a really big, bouncy start to your Sunday morning.
Looking forward to that one.
Joy.
APCOM, as an organisation, does a lot of work with young people. We asked Midnight what he was hearing from young people as the next generation looking at their health and human rights.
What we need is actually to look at what the young people want in terms of, you know, their own sexuality and information, and how they access the information. It's mostly through social media and online, and the communities are so different to, I guess, the older generation. What we find is that there is less of this thinking of their own sexuality, but they're more fluid, and there's a lot more access in terms of information. So for APCOM, what we need to do is our country partners working a lot more with young people to understand how they access information and what kind of medium that they would like to access those information in, and how they can also be involved with country programming, both in terms of kind of like the HIV and general health for young people, and also in terms of how they can be part of the, political process in terms of looking at the human rights for LGBT people.
Now, you are out here for Mardi Gras, talking to us from Sydney. This is your first Mardi Gras. What are you expecting? What are you excited about?
Well, gosh, Mardi Gras is kind of like very much globally known. So I'm really looking forward to see what people have been talking about and being part of this celebration, I suppose. And I think APCOM is working very much with ACON and also AFAO, the Australian Federation of AIDS Organization, during the Mardi Gras period for our board meeting, for us to also learn about what has been the great examples that Australia has had in terms of their HIV response, and also looking at kind of more human rights advocacy that's been doing in the region. So that's kind of like the more work thing, but also from the more personal thing is also to feel like, I'm part of a much bigger community and to see people being out and being themselves and enjoying the festivities.
And enjoy it you will. Midnight Pinkasa Tuana, thanks for joining us on World Wide Wave.
Thank you so much.
We've had another message in from Jeff in Mill Park saying, great show, leaving for Mardi Gras on Friday morning, driving up for the third time.
I've only been twice.
Oh, and what was your experience?
I never went to the party. I just did the parade.
What do you think of the parade, though?
It's better when it's not raining. Yeah. You Hot don't tip. Want to see people in drag when they're at the end, because I was in the stands at the end. And if it's been raining, they lose their sparkle when they get right to that point if they're a bit damp.
So pack a brolly if it's...
Or see it a bit earlier. Get down the front.
You were just at the wrong end of the deal.
I was at the wrong end, yeah.
You're listening to Worldwide Wave on Joy 94.9.
Receive LGBT news from around the world throughout the week. Like Worldwide Wave on Facebook now.
Hola, mi nombre es Félix de Colombia. You are on Worldwide Wave on Joy 94.9.
We would love to thank Midnight Ponakase Tuana from the Asian Pacific Coalition for Men Who Had Sex with Men. That's APCON. And you can find out more about their work at www.apcom.org.
We'd also like to thank those who have messaged in on Facebook throughout the week. We had a few very complimentary comments about our show last week from Maurizio Lavate, who said, I'd love to hear it. We're in Singapore now. Hoffler says, that was a great show, very insightful and informative. We'd also like to thank Helen, Michael, Emma, Kimmy, Alex, and a heap more who have joined or interacted with us on Facebook. That's W3Joy on Facebook.
And a big thanks to our podcaster, Mark. You've been listening to World Wide Wave. Get on my elevator,
baby, we're going up. Thanks for listening to another podcast of the World Wide Wave, the show that takes you around the globe one country at a time. World Wide Wave is the international news and current affairs show on Australia's LGBT radio station. You can listen live every Tuesday night from 7 p.m. Eastern Australia time on 94.9 FM in Melbourne or online at joy.org.au. You'll find all of our podcasts at joy.org.au/worldwidewave. Or follow us on Facebook for latest international LGBT news. Search W3Joy on Facebook now.
Connecting, representing, celebrating. Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation. Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.